All right. So have you ever been just worried about something for an extended period of time? It just kind of has been grinding on you, and then something happens, and it gets resolved, and what do you feel? Relief, right? You feel peace. You feel just like, oh, okay, that's over. It's like when I get home and I take the contact out and I figure out why it's that'll be that. Or when I was growing up, my and I would be particularly bad, and my mom would say, "What? Well, talk to your when he gets yeah." And then the rest of the day was just misery. You know, it was just that. Oh, and I'm not sure if he even spanked harder than my mom. I'm not sure. But it was the waiting. It was that day of just like, oh, and I couldn't enjoy anything, even Legos. Nothing was fun for the rest of the day. And then Dad would come home, and that wasn't the relief. But then later on, it was like, oh, okay, that's over. Now I can enjoy the last half hour of my evening. And the peace, or when your boss calls you and says, you get that email, and we need to talk on Friday, and it's Monday, and you're like, so all week long I have to worry, is it a good thing or a bad thing? It's probably not a good thing, because if it was a good thing, just that whole thing, and then you talk, and then it's over, and at the end of that, you're like, oh, you sigh of relief, or you're watching maybe something less important than that, you're watching a football game, maybe more important, I don't know. Did the Huskers win yesterday? They played, right? Okay. Was it a tight game? Okay, so this wouldn't apply to that, but you know, you're watching your team play, and it's a tight game, and it's like, and you realize when it gets to the end that your hands have marks in them, or your wife's hands have marks in them, or your arm, or that you're like, you've eaten like three bags of chips, or there's just, and then at the end of the game, though, win or lose, it's like, oh, there's relief, maybe angry relief, but it's still, it's over. It's the text we're going to look at today. Jesus talks about that kind of relief, but at a much deeper level. He talks about peace and relief. He gives us what to me is one of the most beautiful teachings and passages in the Bible. He's going to say in three verses what Paul will take chapters and chapters to explain in great detail in the rest of his writings. He's going to put in very concise form how we can have relief and peace in our souls on the inside, and it's a beautiful passage, and we get to read it together today. So why don't we pray, and then we'll read it. God, we come to you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you interrupt our lives, whether it's in the mornings when we wake up and we remember I need to read the Bible, or right now when we're sitting here together and we're going to read your word together. You interrupt our lives to talk to us. So now, God, as you do that, I pray that you would help us listen to your words. Help me explain well and open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So flip over to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You see how he starts out with an invitation, "Come to me." If you just look up to the verses that preceded this, it's interesting that he would do that, because what comes before that is what we looked at last week. We saw how God chooses to pour his grace sovereignly over those that he does. And yet at the end of that, Jesus says, okay, so what do you do? How do you respond to that? Come to me. It's a universal open invitation. It's a come to me and receive that grace. Why would he end talking about how God sovereignly chooses to pour grace over people by saying, now you come and receive? Because you can come and receive, and you should come and receive. And that's what he calls us to do, to come and receive that grace from the Father. The King of the universe extends his universal invitation to everyone. Come to me, come and receive, and accept, and he's giving an invitation to everyone. Come and give yourself to me. In post-cross, where we are, it's repent and be baptized, make a decision to follow me. That's what he's saying. Everyone can do that. Everyone should do that. And then he's going to tell us why we should do that, why you and I should come to him and receive that grace. Look at the next line. To find my place again. Okay. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Everyone who's burdened. Everyone who's weighed down. Come to me. What's he talking about? What kind of burden and labor is he talking about? I'm finishing up my work week. I normally finish Sunday afternoon with my programming before I'm ready for Monday to start the next week programming. There's not really a stop there. But, you know, finishing up my work week, I feel like I'm burdening and heavy laden. I work hard. You probably feel the same thing. What's he talking about? What kind of burden, what kind of heavy laden is he talking about in this? Is this if you're tired and stressed out in life, come to me and I'll make your problems just go away. Christians don't have to work as hard as everybody else. Life is easier for Christians. If you're a Christian, you know that's either not true or you're not a real Christian, right? Because that's not our experience. So what is Jesus talking about? What kind of labor and heavy laden is he talking about? Well, think about the context. Okay, who was Jesus? He, Son of God, but in his time he came as a religious teacher, a rabbi, the people who told people how to connect with God. And in fact, he's just in the context, he's just telling people how they can connect with God. So he's teaching that. That's what he taught. He taught people how to connect with God. And so He's talking in the context of a teacher that people would go to and say, what do I have to do to be good enough? Remember Nicodemus, his question when he came to Jesus? What was his question? Paraphrase John 3. What do I have to do? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do? People came to the religious teachers of their day and our day saying, what do we have to do? What do I have to do to be good enough to? What's the system? What do I have to do to have enough worth so that God will look at me and say, okay, you're in. How does that work? How does the system work? That's what people would go to religious teachers in Jesus' day for. That's what people come to religious teachers in our day for. It's tell me how the system works. So that's the question when Jesus taught that he was always answering. That's the kind of burden and heavy laden. It's in relationship to, okay, how can I get to God? What does that system look like? And Jesus is saying, okay, if you want to know the question to how to be worthy, how to be accepted by God, well, he's talking to people who in his day, in his context, had been weighed down by a religious system that was impossible to maintain and impossible to meet. They were people who were weighed down, burdened, and heavy laden with the religious demands that not only Moses and the law had put on them, but also then their teachers had come around and said, okay, God says this. In order to not do that, you have to not do this, this, and this, and this. And God says to do this. In order to do that, you have to do this, this, and this, and this. So these were people who had, I think, I've heard like 600 laws, many, 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 many laws, a huge number of laws that they couldn't, that they had to do, that they had to fulfill, to be good with God, but they couldn't do it. They were burdened and heavy laden. In fact, Jesus would chastise the religious teachers of his day in other passages for putting unbearable burdens on the people that they were teaching, that they were leading. So that's the context that he's talking about. He's saying, okay, he's talking to people who are burdened with a system that they can't fulfill. They can't be good enough. Their teachers are telling them, here's how you get to God. You have to fulfill all these rules. You have to be good enough. You have to do all these things. And they knew they couldn't do it because they'd spent their whole life trying to do it. And so Jesus comes to them and says, are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Are you weary of being burdened with this? Then come to me, because you're living under this condemnation. This you can't do it right. You can't meet the demands. You know you're not good enough. You look in the mirror and you're not happy with what you see. Yeah, even on your best day, you know you're not good enough. And then other people look at you and they condemn you because they see that you're not good enough. And you know, even if you take all that away, before God, you're not good enough. You can't meet God's demands. These people were burdened by their system that they had been put on them, which they knew they had to fulfill to get to God. They were burdened by that. And if you say, well, that's them, how does this apply to us? Everybody has their system. Everybody has their system. Everybody has a response to the question, what makes me worthy? What makes me valuable? And even, it may not be maybe in a religious sense for you, in a you and God sense, or it might just be as a person in life. Everybody has a system. Everybody has a thing that they say, that's what gives me worth. That's what determines if I'm good or bad. That's what determines if I'm a good person. That's what determines if my life counts for something. You say, I don't think I have a system. Oh, you do. We all do. We all have something that we pin our hopes for self-worth on. So I was thinking about this week. I was like, well, what's my? I don't think I have. And I'm thinking about it. Like, I do. My whole life. This is going to sound just so shallow. But when has that ever stopped me? My whole life, and I know I'm going to say this, and you're going to be like, really? That's, yeah, it doesn't look like it. I put an inordinate amount of my self-worth, like am I a good person or a not good person, based on what I look like. And I know, you go, really? I'm sorry. but I do. Ever since I was a kid, I would work out all the time, and I would look in the mirror, you know, with my shirt off, and it's like, am I a good enough person? And I go running, and I'm like, I'm 41, and I want to look younger? Can I still take my boys? Can I still, you know, both at the same time? Can I be the man? Can I wrestle them both and without having to try too hard, because they're going to get bigger, and then I'm going to really try? Is this? I know you look at that and say, okay, but that's. I'm saying for me, that's, I put an inordinate amount of my personal weight on what I look like. And I know, you must think I have a horrible self-esteem. Don't be so judgmental. I also put a huge amount of my value on what I do, like how much I actually physically do, like how much I accomplish. I get to the end of the day, and you know when you're tired and you're so exhausted that it's just like you have no emotional strength left, and you're just like, you don't know if you're depressed or sad or angry, or you just want to go to sleep. In that moment, you know, when I'm very emotionally vulnerable every day, at the end of the day, I'm like, I go back to just automatically, I go back to, okay, was it a good day? And immediately I say, okay, what did I do? How many hours did I bill? How much did I get done on my project? Did I work on Sunday sermon? Did I do this? Did I spend time with the boys? I did this for the family. I did this for the, and I make my list. And if I've done enough, I tell myself, you did okay. You should feel good, even though I really don't. You should feel good. What is it for you? Is it what makes you feel good? What has it in its power for you, the ability to make you feel like a great person or a horrible person? Or that your life has meaning or your life is worthless. Have you ever said, well, that happened, so I guess my life is worthless? Okay, that tells you that you put your hope, your system, your am I good enough on that thing. Whatever that is it how your kids turn out? Is it the kind of parent that you are? Is it how good you do in school and what your education looks like? Is that what makes you a worthy person? Is it your job? Is it how much you work or the stuff that you have? I have this car and I have that car and I have this house and I have this and I have money and I have this and that makes me a worthy person. What is it that makes you worthy? What is it that makes you a good person? What do you have your hope put on? That if I do enough of this, whatever it is, what makes you a loser or a winner? When I say, are you a loser or a winner? And you say, I'm a winner. And I say, why? What is the thing that you turn to? Well, because I have a good family, or I do this, or we do this. Or maybe it's even your religious beliefs. Maybe you say, I believe this doctrine, or I believe this doctrine, and that's what makes me better than you. And you would never say that, but that's the way you treat people, and that's what you feel deep down inside. What is it for you? Whatever it is, we serve that thing. That's why Jesus says, you labor and are heavy laden. We serve that thing. Whatever gives me value, I serve it. When I say my worth comes from how much I accomplish in my day, I serve that. I serve that with all that I am. My kids come in the office and say, I don't have time for you. I'm finding my worth right now. We serve. Even more than God, we serve whatever we find our worth in, and it makes us its slave. We become heavy laden, we labor under it. And the problem is, it's never enough. That's what you were thinking, isn't it? When I said I find a lot of my self-worth in this, and you go, the nose has been broken 5 times, really? That it's never going to be enough. You're going to get more and more of this as you get older. It's never going to be enough. Whatever your thing is, it's never going to be enough. I can never bill enough hours to feel like I really did enough. You can never do good enough to make you feel like you've done enough. We never do enough, not to satisfy ourselves and definitely not to satisfy other people, right? There's always, if you came up to anyone in your life, your boss or your spouse or your children or your best friend and said, what should I change? How could I be better? They would have a list for you. It's never enough. We never can do enough. We labor and we're heavy laden because it's not just other people. It's between us and God. Do you ever feel good enough for God because of what you've done? Do you ever, when you're taking communion, are you ever tempted to think about the way that you spoke to your children yesterday or your spouse or that other person instead of what Jesus did for you that covered, right? Because we never do enough. We never are good enough for God. And so we live burdened by condemnation. And then Jesus says there's relief from that. You can have peace. There's relief from that condemnation. Look at the next phrase. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To people who are burdened like you and I, Jesus says, I can give you rest. I can give you rest from finding your value in something and your worth in your own eyes and in God's eyes in something that will never be good enough, that you will never be able to do enough of or know enough of, or you'll never be good enough. You know that. I can give you rest. The big idea that I see in this passage is that coming to Jesus brings great relief and peace to our inner being, to who we are on the inside. You come to Jesus, it's not now another list of things you have to do. Rather, Jesus says it's peace, it's relief. Let's continue reading. It's a new system. Look at what he says in verse 29, yeah. Take my yoke upon you. What is he saying? He's offering a new system to people who have lived under a system of how to get to God that they haven't been able to ever be good enough for. And Jesus says, I have a new system. There's a new way. You could take that upon you. There's a new way that you can get, there's a new way to find your value and your dignity. There's a new way to be acceptable to God and to other people and to yourself. There's a new way, but you have to change your old way, exchange your old way in order to take on the new way. If you think of the example, he uses the yoke. Have you ever seen a couple of oxen? Well, we don't really see oxen in Lincoln, do we? But okay, just imagine seeing oxen, right? In a movie, maybe. I don't know. You've seen oxen, and then they're with a yoke on them. I mean, you never see that in real life, but just imagine that. Okay, have you ever seen oxen, or could you imagine seeing oxen with two yokes on them? That doesn't work, right? What is he saying? He's, in order to take his yoke, we have to let go of our system. In order to take his system, we have to let go of our system for finding our value. Whatever we find our value in and try to be good enough for ourselves and for God, we have to let that go. And look at what he says, and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, we have to come to Jesus and learn from him how we can be worthy, how to find our value before God instead of inventing our system. Because that's the thing, with whatever your system is or my system is, whatever makes me worthy, whatever can make me a winner or a loser, whatever that thing is that I say, I'm a winner because, and I could give you the reasons, or I kind of feel like a loser because this and this and this and this, whatever that is, who invented that? I did. I made those rules. I came up with that system. If I have like a, you know, 4.5 pack when I'm 50, I'll be a winner. But that, who makes up those rules? That's me doing that. That's me saying I'll be good enough. If I'm this kind of a Christian, or if I do these things, then I'll be good and my life won't be wasted. Right? Who makes that up? It's me. Jesus says, come and learn from me. We have to learn what it means from him to be valuable and to be worthy and acceptable to the Father. We have to receive it from him. We have to learn from him and receive it from him. He says, come to me. It's receiving his yoke and learning what it means and then taking it upon ourselves from him. It's accepting what he says instead of what we say and whatever our system is. That's how we enter into peace and approval with the Father. And then he says why we should come to him and learn from him. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. What did Jesus say multiple times is recorded in the Bible? I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. I am gentle and lowly in heart. He's saying, I don't want to be superior to you. I don't want to put a system on you that what he accused the Pharisees, the teachers of his day of putting a system on people that they weren't even fulfilling, that the people that they put the system on couldn't fulfill. Jesus is saying, I don't want to put a system on you that you can't fulfill just to make myself feel better because I'm better than you now because you're not living up to the standard, but I'm closer maybe than you are. I'm lowly and humble in heart. I don't want to enslave you. I came to serve. I want the best for you. And at the end of that, how that ends, it's a forward thing. It's a foreshadowing. He's going to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve and to give, not to enslave us. That's why we should be saying, okay, what is your system? How does that work? And then look at the end, for I'm lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. That's the relief, the peace. Not just on the outside, not just like, oh, good. Dad got home, got the spanking over with, I'm done. I'm like at peace for the rest of the evening. No, it's on the inside. It's I'm worthy, I'm accepted, I'm deeply loved by the King of the universe. That comes from the inside and gets in my heart and it changes everything from the inside out. I can be worthy and have value. Now, if I'm that worthy in the eyes of God, I can be worthy in my own eyes as well. Whether I have a good day and I bill like a bunch of hours or I have a bad day and I barely get an hour billed, whatever that is, I'm worthy in the eyes of God. That's peace. That's internal peace. It comes from the inside because it's a deep and abiding peace and relief that Jesus gives. I can rest in that. You will find rest for your souls. Look at how we started. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And it's this continual hamster wheel of I can't do enough. I'm never going to be good enough. I can't do enough. I'm never going to be good enough. But at least I'm better than you. So if I criticize you and I look down on you and I judge you, then I'm going to feel at least better than myself. But I'm still on that wheel. I got to be better. I got to be better. I got to be better. It says you can have rest. You can have rest because in me, you have God's grace. And we can rest in that grace. And then look at the last verse. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus preaching the gospel of grace. What Paul, like in Acts 20:24, will say, I preach the gospel of grace to you, the good news of the goodness and the generosity of God, the gospel of the good news of God's grace, of God's goodness poured out on you. This is Jesus preaching the gospel of grace. This is Jesus saying, Listen, my system of how you can be worthy before the Father, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, it's a grace-based thing, it's not a works-based thing. It answers the question, who does it? Because every system that I have to be worthy enough or to be good enough always starts with, I gotta do more, I do it, I have to do more, I can be better. I just have to do more, and if I do more, then I'll be better, but I know that when I do more, I'm not going to really feel that much better, so I'm going to have to do more. It always is me doing more, and Jesus' system, the reason that it's easy and his burden is light is because it's not a system of I have to do more. It's a system of he did it all. It's a system of Jesus did everything that needs to be done for me to be approved by the Father. He did everything that had to be done for me to have peace with God and be accepted by God, because he died and he lived a life that was perfect, and then he died and then he rose from the dead. I can have value, I can have dignity, because his life makes me acceptable to the Father. It covers over my imperfections, and his death satisfies the wrath of God, and his resurrection gives me victory over my flesh, both in this life and after the tomb. See, because of what Jesus did, I can be accepted by the Father. I can be worthy to enter. I can have value. And that's incredible. That's why he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's the gospel of grace. Read Ephesians and then package that down into three verses. That's what this is. And if you read that and you say, okay, I know what my system is. I know what all the stuff I have to keep going to feel worthy, to feel like a good person. And then Jesus comes and says, let that go. and enter into him, and he will make me worthy because of what he did, it can't be that easy. That doesn't logically make sense, because if I'm going to be a better person, I have to become a better person to deserve being a better person. I have to do more. I have to do at least most of it and then let Jesus kind of come in and, you know, pick up the slack, like, you know, when my kids mow the yard and then I go around with the weed whacker and do the edges. I got to do most of it and then let Jesus do some of this. This doesn't make sense. That can't be what Jesus is talking about. But look at what he says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's not about being worthy before the Father because you do enough, because you run the hamster wheel off its axis and you win. It's because being worthy before the Father because Jesus did enough. And in him, we can be worthy. And you just, for a moment, just imagine what it would be like to live life like that without having to always do more to feel worthy. Without having to live under the cloud of I haven't done enough, I'm not quite good enough, if I could just do more, without feeling that constant condemnation that I'm not good, just to be able to rest in that grace of God that says, Christ was sufficient, he did enough for me, everything is paid for, he lived a perfect life because I can't. He did what I can't do. And that's what we receive when we enter into him. So that's why I think the application for this text, that there's great relief and peace when we're in Christ, the application is found at the beginning of it. How does it start? Come to me. We're supposed to accept this grace that Jesus offers. We're supposed to accept the cross. We're supposed to put our system aside and accept his system. And that starts with accepting that you never are going to be able to. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be able to work your system well enough so that you're good enough, better enough than everybody else to be good enough so that God will love you and want you. But rather, you have to accept that Jesus is Lord and he's the one that you will submit to, that he will be the boss of you, that you will surrender to him, that you'll follow him the rest of your life. You have to accept that he will be your savior, that he will save you from your unworthiness, that you can't save yourself from your unworthiness. And then you seal that decision by being baptized, by letting your whole body be pushed underwater by another person. So it feels like you're dying because on the inside, God says, you are dying, and I'm putting a new person inside of you. I'm making you new, and you come out of the water, and now you're in Christ, and you're covered with Christ, and you're a new person, and you're worthy before the Father, not because you've done enough, but because you can't do enough, but Jesus did more than enough, and you're full of worth, and you're accepted by the Father. And then after that, you accept this gospel of grace by always looking inside and saying, what's my system? What's my way of feeling worthy? And then saying, that's not what makes me worthy. It doesn't matter how many hours I bill. It doesn't matter what my family looks like. It doesn't matter how much education I have. It doesn't matter how rightly I believe every single doctrine that I think I should believe rightly on. It doesn't matter. All of that stuff, as good as all of that stuff is, that's not what makes me worthy before the Father. What makes me worthy before the Father is that I'm in Christ. I remember that moment when I repented and was baptized. I'm in Christ, and his life and his death and his resurrection make me worthy. Come to me and rest in that. Why don't we stand? Before we sing, think about this question. What do you need to do to accept Christ's system? And again, for the first time, or anew, receive the relief and the peace that he offers. Why don't we pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you, God, because you love us. And thank you because you offer us a way to you, the only way to you. And it doesn't have to do with us doing enough. It has to do with Jesus having done more than enough. And we praise him and we worship him and we thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.